Hello, I'm Pauline Rowson, crime author of the D.I. Andy Horton contemporary set crime novels, the Art Marvick mystery thrillers, the 1950s set Inspector Ryger mysteries, and two standalone thrillers, In Cold Daylight and In for the Kill. You can find details of all my crime novels on my website at www.romark.co.uk. This episode is taken from a talk that I gave. In it, I'm discussing the characters, the regular police characters in the D.I. Andy Horton series of crime novels, plot lines, and how I write. I hope you enjoy listening to it. So, I've got my character Andy Horton. He's got a Sergeant Cantelli, who's half Italian, half English, got five kids, absolutely beautiful. He's a real family man, so he's the sort of foil, if you like, for Andy Horton. And then I've got Andy's boss that comes in as the series develops. He gets a new boss called DCI Lorraine Bliss, so he's got to have a woman in somewhere. The pathologist is also a woman, by the way. So DCI Lorraine Bliss, and she's completely opposite to Andy Horton, so you've got to have, again, that chemistry between them. She's a by-the-book copper, and Andy Horton is not. I mean, he's your maverick cop, which probably wouldn't really exist in real life, but this is fiction, guys, and you don't want to read a police manual, do you? You want to read a fiction novel. So you know, he's a sort of, she's an Andy, they don't get on. But I've also got my other characters, the major crime team, because it's CID, and all major crimes are investigated by the major crime team. In real life and in the books. So I've got the major crime team, so I've got Superintendent Upfield, who's an alpha male, a bit of a philanderer, and I've got his team as well. So in each book I've somehow got to get Andy and CID working with the major crime team, which is why the crimes take place sort of between Portsmouth and the Isle of Wight and around the area. So they're okay, but obviously in each new novel, there's a new series of characters. There's new characters coming in. There's the victim, the murderer, and other people. So I will work up a number of characters relevant for that book. And then once I've got enough sort of background questions answered about my victim and about my subsidiary characters, I will then begin to work on my plot lines. And that's when I go over to a different method. As you can see, I'm quite a methodical writer, and I will draw lines on a piece of paper here, and I will map out the plot, if you like. And this is really a work in progress, because what happens is when I work out sort of chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, I sort of got an idea of what happens in the first 4 chapters, maybe chapter 5. I've got an idea of what might happen at the end. Don't always know who done it. Quite often I don't know who done it to the end. But I have no idea of what happens in the middle. So that doesn't matter for me, because I like to start the creative writing as quickly as possible. And the creative writing, as I call it, the story is directly onto the computer. I work straight onto the computer. So as soon as I've got enough I think I can start working on, I'll start writing it, and I'll start those first few chapters. Because it's all very well having my characters here and their personalities and everything on a bit of paper. But until I actually start writing and I start putting dialogue into their mouths, and they start relating with other characters, and they start moving about and doing things, they don't come alive. You know, that's what brings the characters alive, is when they interact with other people. So once I start to develop the dialogue and the storyline, what can often happen is that some of the main characters, or the characters that I created, I thought were main, aren't. And some of the walk-on parts, I think, that character's taking on a bit more of a personality. That's a bigger character than I originally thought. So it's sort of back and forwards between sort of doing the research and developing the characters. So I sort of, you know, work out what I'm doing, and then as I go through the novel, this is built on layer by layer. And if you ever come up and see this, you'll see little arrows and dotted lines all over the place, how it all links in, and how the subplots and Andy's quest
also links into the main plot, because you've not only got the main plot, you've got other subplots, you've got other things coming in. And there's always got to be a link around it. And I did a lunchtime talk last week, didn't I, down at Probus Club in Southampton, and there was an ex-policeman from the Hong Kong police there. And he looked at this and he said, that's exactly how we worked in the Hong Kong police. Exactly how we drew it up and how we linked it all in. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. And so there you go. So not a million miles away from where, how it really works. So I do that and then I start writing. And when I start writing, I go on to another method here. This is all on my desk. And on here, I will then start to keep a note of where I am on the computer. So, for example, this is chapter one. This is undercurrent working out. This is chapter one. It's Monday the 6th of August. So I've got Monday the 6th of August, and on my computer it's pages 1 to 12. So that's chapter one. And as it's in pencil, I can rub it out, I can change it as I go along. And I'll jot down what happens in each chapter. I'll keep a note as I go along about what happens in each chapter. And this will change as I develop the story. But I'll also put down the side here facts like the time that the body was found and its location. But I'll also put things down like here, sunrise. What time is sunrise? 5:32 a.m. What time is sunset? It's 8:39. Because again, as the investigation moves throughout the day, it's important to get whether it's light or dark, whether the police need to bring in the arc lights or not. The one that comes out in September is set around the Hillsey Lions at Portsmouth. And there's a body there at night, so, and there's a fire, so the firefighters come out, the arc lights need to go up because it's dark and so on. So I need to know exactly that kind of information. And because they're set around the sea, I also need to know what time high tide is and what time low tide is. And the heights of the tides, where they're going. I've also got the police marine unit in my books, with the launch going across the Isle of Wight and across to Portsmouth. So I need to know the times of the tides. Because obviously if I've got a boat going into that particular harbour or that marina or that bay or whatever it is, and I'm saying it's high tide and it's Monday the 6th of August, there'll be some bright spark somewhere who will say, hang on a minute, on Monday the 6th of August, it was low tide at 4:15 a.m. in the morning, not high tide, she's got it wrong. So I'm sure that, you know, people do spot things like this, unfortunately. But I think it's important to get it right because it's real to me. If I get it right, and I'm thinking, no, he couldn't get a boat up there because it's the wrong tide. So how did he get a boat up there? Do I need to change that? Do I need to change the day to make it all work out? So I'll flag up information along the side while I'm doing it, and I'll also flag up things like questions that I've got to ask about as I'm writing. I've got a question cue, and I flag it up with a little cue. And this is about Dr. Douglas Faulding. What time did he leave the university? You know, where did he go that afternoon? So that as I write it, I'm thinking of the questions, because if you were reading it as a reader, you'll be thinking of those questions. So that by the end of the book, you'll go, yeah, okay, you know, she's answered all those questions. That's how we got from there to here. That's how it happened. So all those questions have got to be answered by the end of the book. So I'll flag up questions and other things, and what I'll do is I'll make a list of them, and I'll put them on, this is flagged up, questions, add-ins and clues, so that I know where the clues are. So questions, a big cue here, you know, did Otis, that's Ben Otis, moor up elsewhere, and so on, check the Naval Museum shelves, is that particular book that I'm referring to on that particular shelf? So it'd be factual things that I will need to check, as well as questions about the plot.
For more information on my crime novels, please visit my website at www.romark.co.uk, where you'll also find lots more articles on how I write, the writing process, and the background to my crime novels and my characters. My books are available in paperback, ebook, on Amazon Kindle, and some are also available as audiobooks. They can be bought from any online retailer or bookstore, and also many can be loaned from UK, Commonwealth and USA libraries. I hope you will join me again to listen to more of my podcasts. Thank you for listening. Bye.